In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The Gospel of today comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5. And it speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ calling the first disciples, the calling of his disciples to come and follow him. And actually, this account is mentioned in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you look at them, they differ a little bit in their accounts of this. Matthew and Mark are pretty much almost identical. It presents, you know, the Lord Christ there with the fishermen, and then he sees Peter and Andrew and says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You know, very simple. However, in St. John's account, it's a little bit different and gives us maybe a little bit more detail. In St. John's account, it speaks about Peter and Andrew. They were disciples of St. John the Baptist, and they were following St. John the Baptist. And then St. John the Baptist told Peter and Andrew that, "Behold the Lamb of God," referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. So then they begin to follow the Lord Christ instead of John. And then it mentions the day after that, Andrew tells his brother, Peter, that he has found the Messiah. So then they both, you know, begin to follow him, and St. Peter now refers, or I'm sorry, the Lord Jesus Christ now refers to St. Peter as being Cephas, which means rock in Aramaic. So he tells him a new name, or a different name. And then St. Luke's Gospel is the one that we read today about you know, how the Lord Christ was teaching, and then he told them to go catch more fish. And then after this miracle, he told them that to come and you will be fishers of men. So it seems, and some of the scholars have, you know, concluded that this wasn't all the same event. They say that St. John's account actually came first. It was you know, Peter and Andrew, their introduction to our Lord Jesus Christ, the point at which they left following after St. John and followed after the Lord Christ. And when they were following St. John, it was kind of like an on and off thing, you know. It was kind of like their day job. They would go and they would spend, you know, some of the day following St. John the Baptist. And because they were fishermen, most of the fishing was done at night. So they'd spend the night working, and then they would, you know, maybe go home and rest, and then in the afternoon follow John, and then carry on about their day. So it was kind of like, you know, a part-time thing. And St. Luke's Gospel that we read today gives us an account of some detail regarding the process of the discipleship of St. Peter in specific, and also St. Andrew and John and James. But before, you know, we consider, okay, this is a great story about the disciples, it's necessary for me to note that the discipleship is something that we're all called to be. If we recall, during the Great Commission, our Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples to go out and make disciples of what? Of all nations. So I think this would include all of us. So we're all called to be the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we're going to say today, you know, is relevant to us because we are all called to be his disciples. Some might say, "But you know, Abuna, I am a disciple. I'm here today. I'm sitting in church. You know, I say my prayers, you know, once or twice a day. And I read my chapter or half a chapter a day in the Bible. So I am, you know, I am a disciple." But if you look at St. Peter and Andrew, they were in the beginning disciples, quote unquote, disciples of the Lord Christ before this calling. So their discipleship began when they first were introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ, as accounted in St. John's Gospel. The other, Matthew and Mark's Gospel, they mentioned that Christ told them to come follow me and I'll make you disciples of men. So some scholars believe that they were two separate events. And then the third is the Gospel of St. Luke. So this Gospel would be the third time Christ is telling them to come and be and follow me. So the disciples were, you know, kind of quote-unquote disciples with our Lord Jesus Christ in the beginning. It was on and off. But this calling was a little bit different. This calling, he's calling them to go a little bit deeper. to go deeper in their discipleship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and we'll realize in this story that it wasn't until they launched into the deep that they realized what it meant and what it took to be a disciple. So it wasn't until they launched in the deep they didn't realize this. So that's why today I want to speak about going deeper in our discipleship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we notice in the story, it begins in the shallow end. It begins in the shallow part of the beach or of the sea. He says that he was speaking to them. He got on a boat and was teaching the people from the boat. And this was, you know, just the shallow part. And then after he had taught, it says that they went into the deep. So what are the shallow waters? It said that he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So the people that were gathered around him came together to hear him speak, and then they would go home. So there, it was kind of like this shallow relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ is kind of like the casual Christianity that some of us might practice, or some people might practice, where I casually go to church, you know, I'll come in late, you know, and then I'll come, you know, if there's a service during the week, you know, I might come once every blue moon. So, and in my reading the Bible and in my, you know, prayer, it's when I can get around to it. I'll do it in the car. So the casual Christian is when it's convenient for me to be a Christian, then I'll be a Christian. If it calls for my line of work, calls for me to lie, cheat, or steal, you know, I'll do that. You know, we have to do that in order to make a living. So these are the casual Christians, or the shallow, the people that have a shallow relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. When it's convenient for me, I'll obey the commandment. But when it's not, I won't obey. Also, the shallow people always kind of have this question in their mind. What must I do to go to heaven? What's the minimum requirement for those among the heavenly? And let me be there. If this is the line here, I just want to be right on this side. I don't want to go too far. I just want to be on this side so I can maybe enjoy a little bit of the pleasures of life, but at the same time, ensure that I'm going to go to heaven. This is a shallow relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens when we go deeper? We know that it started shallow, and then we know we're going to the deep end. What happens in this transition? What about Christ's invitation? What things can we note about Christ's invitation to go deeper that we can learn? So what is it about this transition from going shallow to deep that we can learn? The first is that Christ meets the disciples, or he meets St. Peter, in the midst of their daily work. So Christ met them in the midst of their daily work. And here, the church is teaching us, or the Lord is teaching us, that Christ wants to be a part of all of our life. He met the disciples in the middle of their daily work. He didn't wait until they finished work, and then he went and met them at home. But he wanted to be an integral part of their life every moment of their day. So he went and met them as they were cleaning their nets. So if we read in Mark chapter 12, the famous command that we all know, it says the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. So he says all. He wants us to love him with all, not part, not some, not a little bit of our time, but he wants to be a part of, you know, all of our life. So that, and also, you know, if you realize when the Lord Christ was teaching, he would teach in parables, something that was familiar to them. So that when they're working in the fields and they're planting the seeds and they're sowing the seeds, they remember what the Lord Christ was telling them. So it's good for us. And that's why, you know, it's best to read scripture in the morning. When you're still fresh, you wake up in the morning, you pray, and you read the Bible. So whatever you read in the Bible can be something that you can live by this whole day. So he wants to be a part of our life throughout the whole day, not just in the morning and in the end when we, you know, when we come home. Also, the second thing we can learn is that the disciples were both emotionally and physically worn out. They're physically and emotionally exhausted. And Christ met them and sent them and gave them this invitation. So if we want to go into a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ in a deeper form of discipleship, we must heed his invitation to discipleship even when we are emotionally and physically drained. Even when we're emotionally and physically drained, and he asks us to stand up and pray when we get back from work, we need to do that if we want to go deeper in our relationship with him. If I'm emotionally drained, you know, for different things that are happening around my life, whether it be at work or at school, or during times of grievance, or if I lost a job, whatever it might be. Some people face these things and say, how could God leave me? I'm not going to pray anymore. But if you want to go deeper in your relationship and your discipleship with him, even amongst the emotionally and physically draining moments, we need to stand up to pray to him. Because to be honest, we have nobody else to turn to that can give us this rest and this peace. Because he is an all-powerful and almighty God. There's a story about David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. When he and his men went to go fight the Philistines, and they left their wives and children at Ziklag. They came back from the fight. They found that the Amalekites, which were kind of like nomads at the time, they came and they plundered all their goods and took their wives and children as captives. And they wanted to make them, you know, most likely slaves or something. So they came back to the camp, and all the men found that their wives and children were taken and all their houses, you know, have been plundered. And they were very grieved. And let's hear how David dealt with this emotionally and physically draining moment. He says, now David is greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. So now the people who were fighting with him now want to stone him because of what happened. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So he strengthened himself in the Lord. And you know what happened? He went and inquired of God, should I pursue the Amalekites or should I not? This would be probably a question that many of us wouldn't even ask. We would probably go out and do it. But he strengthened himself in the Lord, seek the Lord's counsel, and when the Lord said, go and pursue them, he went and pursued them, and all was restored. No one was lost. So he strengthened himself in the Lord in the midst of emotional and physical stress. So if we want to deepen our relationship with Christ and our discipleship, we need to strengthen this part whenever we're emotionally and physically distressed to continue. The third thing was that, if you notice, that there was, without any impoverishment or some impoverishment, they would not have welcomed the Lord Christ into the boat. So if the disciples hadn't experienced some kind of need where they had no catch, they didn't catch any fish, so they felt that they were in need. They felt that they were poor. They felt that they had nothing to provide for their families, and Christ met them. So this tells us something, that developing a deep relationship or a deeper relationship or a discipleship with our Lord Jesus Christ will certainly demand of us some sacrifice. We will certainly be asked to sacrifice, because even in the midst of this, Christ, you know, met them. And this, of course, we know by the command that, as we all know, that the Lord told his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This denying oneself is sacrifice. Denying everything maybe that I want for sacrifice for somebody else. When I fast, I'm denying myself, you know, maybe the pleasures of a luxurious meal, in the exchange of from something that I might be doing spiritually for myself, more time reading the Bible, more time praying, or offering the difference of this money to the poor. So there's some sacrifice there. So there must be a sacrifice in our relationship with Christ. We can't expect to be on our cell phones every minute and checking our status and checking our tweets and all these things every minute and expect to have a deeper relationship with God. There must be some sacrifice. There must be some sacrifice in the time that I spend in front of the computer, or that I spend in front of playing video games. And here I want to mention something about the video games and the things, you know, on the internet. It's not just the time that we spend, but the quality, what it is that I'm looking at. Am I playing these video games that are violent? Am I watching things that are inappropriate online? So it's not only the time, but also the quality of what I'm doing online. And also, it might also sacrifice some sleep. Believe it or not, yes. Maybe I get home from work and I'm tired and I want to sleep, but I didn't pray yet. Or maybe in the morning, I'm so tired, I don't want to wake up. Maybe it takes an extra 5 or 10 minutes for you to wake up a little bit early and sacrifice those few moments of sleep to offer up prayer to God and to raise your petition to Him and ask Him for assistance throughout this day. The fourth thing that we can realize in this transition from going shallow to deep is that moving deeper involves some risk. Moving deeper involves some risk. If you look at Peter, he finished fishing and he came back and they were washing their nets. So this washing the nets took several hours. So they would wash the nets, pick it, make sure everything was clean and be ready for the next day. So they were washing their nets and then Christ said, let's go, launch into the deep and let's do this again. So maybe he's got staff or somebody there that he's helping that he might have to pay. It's maybe his time. He's going to, lose, whatever it is, his family time or whatever it might be in the evening. So there's some kind of risk that St. Peter is going to incur if he heeds the commandments of God or the commandments of Christ. But he does it anyways. He does it anyways. And here I want to say that experiencing failure is no hindrance to going deeper, but may be a propellant. So experiencing, that's for the next, that's the next point. This point, if you look at the man born blind and also Rahab of the Old Testament, their discipleship of Christ involved some risk. If you look at the man born blind, he risked being expelled from the temple by telling them who it was that healed him. Rahab risked her life by harboring the spies that came from Israel because they were their enemies. So they were willing to take on this risk to be a disciple or to obey or to be a disciple of Christ and obey his command. So there is some risk to going deeper with our Lord Jesus Christ. The fifth thing, like I mentioned, is that there an invitation to go deeper also occurs in the midst of failure. And as I said, experiencing this failure should not hinder us from going deeper, but it should actually propel us. When we feel that we are weak and that we are in failure, then we turn to God because no one else can help us. And when we turn to Him and we see His hand and His work in our life, there's nothing left for us but to shout for joy and to shout for glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, this was what made St. Peter the disciple that he was. He says that I'll try again. Yes, we caught no fish, but at your word, we'll go out there and we'll try again. And then he tried again, and of course, we know what happened. And this experience that St. Peter had on the boat with the Lord Christ would pay dividends later. When he denied the Christ three times. When he denied him three times, he went and wept bitterly. And maybe he remembered what Christ did with him on the boat when he invited him to be a disciple. He thought when he denied him three times that he lost his apostleship and he lost his discipleship. But he wept bitterly, but he said, you know what? I fell, Lord, but I'm going to try again. And he came back, repented, and Christ restored him to his apostleship once again. So even in the midst of failure, we must resolve and come back to the Lord Christ because He's the only one that can give us forgiveness and the only one that can help us. So what happens when we get into the deep, when we get into this deep relationship with our Lord? What happens? The first thing we notice is that it's personal. There have been maybe other boats that were doing the same thing that were fishing, but Christ came to Peter's boat because He had a special message for Peter. He had a special message for Peter, and He wanted to have this one-on-one intimate relationship with Peter on this boat today. So our Lord Jesus Christ is coming to us today, each and every one of us individually, and says, I want to have a relationship with you and I want to begin it today. I want to start it today. It's personal. It's not something, okay, I'm one among many. No, but you know, I'm the only one that Christ that God is looking at this very moment, exclusively. And because He's God, He can do that. He can deal with each and every one of us individually, all at the same time. And He can deal with us differently, all at the same time. So it's personal. He wants to single us out. There's a psalm in the Old Testament that's very nice. It says, David the prophet says, deep calls unto deep. Deep calls unto deep. What does that mean? He explains what deep means. Him and St. Paul both explain it. St. Paul says, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So the deep thing of God is the Spirit of God. So that's the deep. What about the other deep? David further says in Psalm 65, both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. So the deep part of man is our soul, our heart, our thoughts. So now when we see deep calls to deep, we see here that the Spirit of God calls to the deep part of man. And the nice thing about Psalm 65, it continues and says, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. God's shooting us with an arrow not to strike us down, but He's shooting at us with the arrow of love, mercy, compassion. And like He did with Peter today, He shot him with the arrow of grace, of gifts, of His power. And St. Peter's response was, get away from me, for I'm a sinful man. So that arrow hit a direct hit right on Peter's heart. So Christ wants to shoot those same arrows into our heart. He wants to shoot us with the arrows of love, of His mercy, and of His compassion. So the Spirit that Christ has put within us, or that He sent within us, the Holy Spirit, even cries out. As St. Paul says, that the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit that is within us, the deep part of God that has been placed within us, makes groanings and cries before the throne of God on our behalf, even when we can't speak. So prayer is not necessarily just a verbal thing, but it can be a deep expression of the heart that maybe we can't find any words to speak of. And maybe it's just lifting our heart and our mind to the Lord without any particular words to say. The second thing, so the first thing in the deep is that it's a personal relationship. When we have a deep relationship with Christ, we experience Him on a personal level. The second thing is that we notice that the returns are disproportionate. What St. Peter did was just, you know, okay, I'm going to take the nets out and go out again. But what did Christ do? It wasn't an ordinary catch for St. Peter, but it was an extraordinary catch. They went out, they filled the boat. The boat was about to sink. Can you imagine? You know, we went fishing yesterday with some of the high school. Imagine if we caught so many fish that the boat was going to sink. I mean, I think we caught maybe like 20 or 30 fish, and it was not close to being, you know, going to sink. So imagine they caught so many fish that the boat was going to sink. And not only that, they called another boat. And another boat, you know, came, and that boat was going to sink. So God's gifts to us are so disproportionate to what we offer to Him. And this shows that God wants to pour upon us His love and His grace at, you know, a higher level than what we might expect or can even do to Him. So He wants to pour upon us this grace. But He does not going to do it if it's going to hurt us. He might pour grace upon us and grant us blessings, but if that's going to be something that becomes for us an idol, then He'll say, it's better not. I'd rather have them than give them, you know, abundance. Also, we notice that all of their needs were met. If we remember, in the beginning, maybe Saint Peter and Saint Andrew, they follow the Lord Christ kind of, you know, on and off. And maybe they, when they were called initially to follow him, they had some reservations. Who's going to care for my family? Who's going to take care of them while I follow you? And today Christ says, I'm going to take care of everybody. Here's enough fish to maybe feed your family for a year or 3 years until the time that you spend with me. And as we know that Saint Peter left everything and followed the Lord Christ. So he left his family, but he didn't leave his family for good. Because Saint Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians, he says that is it only, you know, Cephas or Peter that can take along a believing wife? So it seems here that Saint Peter, after the Lord rose and ascended and he began his ministry, that he took his family with him and they were helping minister as well. So he left them for a period of time, and Christ was telling him maybe at this moment that I can provide all of your needs and more. So don't worry, follow me. The fourth thing is that we see the response of Saint Peter, the confession of his unworthiness. When we see the gifts that Christ has given us and the magnitude of what they really are, as they are, we will have no other response but to confess the same confession that Saint Peter said. Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. When we come closer to the light, we begin to see ourselves as being sinful. But as long as we're in the shallow end, we don't see ourselves as being sinful. There's no need to confess. What do I have to confess about? But when we go in the deep and we have that intimate personal relationship with him and we're amongst the light, then we're left with the same confession that Saint Peter said. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I'm unworthy of your presence. The last thing that we see in the deep is that Christ invited Saint Peter at this moment to participate in his ministry. He invited Saint Peter to catch men, as the Lord Christ was doing, to participate in the same ministry that I am doing. If we want, if any, you know, worker or a manager or anybody wants to honor somebody, they say, come help me with the work that I'm working on. Yeah, so now Yanni, I'm this much honored to come and help you with your work. Imagine if the CEO of your company comes and says, I have something that I want you to help me with personally in my office. You'd be like, I feel special. So Christ was inviting the disciples, and not just the disciples or Saint Peter, but he's inviting all of us to participate in this ministry, ministering to one another, showing kindness to one another, welcoming everybody who comes through the door, greeting everybody in the street as Christ would greet them, so they see Christ in you. This is participating in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is a great honor that we all do not deserve. So just in summary, we spoke that Christ wants to take us from the shallow relationship to a deeper relationship with him. And we said that in this transition of going deeper, he called us in the midst of our daily work. So he wants to be an integral part of our life. He called them while they were emotionally and physically drained. So he wants us to be committed to him despite the stresses in our life. And we noticed also that there was some loss, or they felt some need in their life. They were impoverished, and he called them to the boat. We noticed also that they're moving deep involves some risk that I have to take, like Rahab and the man born blind. And finally, we said that this transition going deeper, the invitation to go deeper occurred amidst their failure. So even if I feel that I'm a failure, or there's no hope in my spiritual life, come, say like Saint Peter, I'm going to try again. I'm going to launch out into the deep. And when we get to the deep, we realize that we have a personal and intimate relationship with him. We realize that he wants to bless us, and the return is much greater than what we invested. And we realize that all of our needs will be met when we are in the deep. And also, we will confess our unworthiness, and lastly, we will be invited to participate in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.